All right, let's go to Central Ohio and join one of our regulars, longtime regulars. That would be Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Dorsey, I'm reading more and more about Central Ohio. I was just reading some figures on population. There was a little dip during the pandemic, which was around 2021, but Central Ohio, Franklin County, just booming in population. And it's exciting. You and I talking about all the building that's going on. And it seems like you're becoming the center of the state of Ohio, maybe the Midwest, with what's going on. And then last week, you have the head of the National Building Trades, North America Building Trades, Sean McGarvey, coming on saying, hey, you know what? We're ready. We're meeting the moment. I want you to talk about that time. That's pretty exciting for you and all your brothers and sisters there in organized labor. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a pretty good time to be in Central Ohio. First, let me start off by saying thanks for having me on again, Flash. This is awesome coming on first Friday of every month. And this Friday is a big Friday for all the Clevelanders, obviously, because it's the home opener for the Guardians. So the Guardians are playing good. So I know everybody there is excited for that today, and it should lead into a good Easter weekend. But, yeah, I mean, we're very blessed here, as we've talked about in your show here in Columbus and Central Ohio. We have a lot of things that people around the country want. We have infrastructure. We have water. We have still some availability of some land. It's a pretty good industrial-sized lots and parcels where people can purchase and develop them, much like Intel did out in Lincoln County, much like Honda has done down in Fayette County. So President McGarvey reached out to myself and the Ohio State Building Trades President, Mike Knisley, a couple of weeks ago, and he says, I want to come to Columbus. He's like, we're going to do this road show. We want to start in Columbus. It's the work. It's the opportunities. It's the development. It's the growth. It's your apprenticeship programs. It's your award-winning pre-apprenticeship program, Building Futures, which, you know, Leland Bass, our program manager, and Kelly Harrop do a tremendous job with. And he's like, we just want to come there, and we want to talk about this, and we want to tout this. So the program grew and grew. It was a pretty good program. We had, I think, 19 speakers, which was wonderful. We had a representative from the governor's office. We had my good friend, Mayor Andrew J. Genther, speak, who obviously, you know, Columbus is America's opportunity center, opportunity city. And, you know, there's a ton of opportunities here. And the mayor kind of talked a little bit about some of the things he talked about in the state of the city the week before, which, you know, one of them was, the mayor and I joke, we both came in to office at the same time. I was elected in the building trades in 2014, and he was elected mayor of Columbus in 2015, and he appointed me to his transition team, where we talked about community benefit agreements and apprenticeship readiness programs and pre-apprenticeships and what we could do to help the underserved get in these direct paths to the middle class through careers in the union building trades and construction trades. And the line that the mayor spoke of was in 2015, the Columbus building trades worked just a little bit over 4 million man hours. Last year in 2022, we more than doubled that, and we worked on over 9 million man hours. And we're projected this year to hit probably close to 13 million man hours with all the work that's out there and available. But it was great to have President McGarvey come in. There was a lot of electeds, a lot of community leaders, my good friend and our partner with the Building Futures Program, NAACP President Nana Watson spoke as well, which was awesome. Council President Shannon Harden, who's leading a tremendous slate of council this year for reelection, he spoke, and I tell you, he kind of took the program a little bit with his line, and it was really good. But you know, it's like he said at the end of his speech, because he's the brother of a IBW 683 member, and then his sister is a beautician. And he said, you know, my mom raised a beautician, electrician, and politician, and I'm the only one that she doesn't call. So I thought that was pretty good. But it was a great program. And then afterwards, we ended. The plumbers and pipe fitters hosted and did a tremendous job. Their training director, Rich Manley, their business manager, Tim Ely, and we ended it with a tour of the training center. 189's training center, where they just constructed their brand new orbital lab, and they've added to it because obviously they're going to have a lot of pipe fitters that they're going to have to train for a lot of this data center work that requires orbital welding, and also out at Intel. So great coverage by the media. I've been getting a lot of interview requests, a lot of news requests. It was on the front page of the Columbus Dispatch, I believe, Monday of this week, which also, you know, renewed some of the interest and sparked it. But, President McGarvey's theme was meeting the moment. And like I said, you know, we've got right around probably 15,000 people working right now. We're going to need an additional 15,000 in the next 18 months. And, you know, J.P. Nassif from Jobs Ohio was there talking about all the opportunities they're continuing to bring to Central Ohio. And we told him, keep it coming, keep it coming. You know, the pail's not full, and we want it to be overflowing because we want everybody here to have opportunities to get into that direct path to the middle class.
All right, Dorsey, let's unwind this. You just mentioned 15,000 people working, and you're going to need that amount in the next 15 months. Did I hear that correctly?
Next 18 months. I'd say that when Facebook restarts their next phase, when Honda's at their peak, which is probably right around 4,300 people, and then when Intel's at their peak, which depending on who you talk to is anywhere from 6,000 to 10,000 people, then you have the municipal courthouse downtown, which doesn't sound like a big job, but that's still $275 million. And the OSU Medical Center, which is $2 billion, is at its peak. And then the defending national champion women's hockey team here at Ohio State's getting a new hockey arena, which is going to be tremendous for them and also the community. You know, so you throw another $125 million in the pail, and we haven't even talked about infrastructure. We haven't even talked about solar. We haven't talked about the suppliers for Intel. We haven't talked about the suppliers for Honda. And, you know, a stat that I gave, you know, the other day at the event was just two stats is, you know, the pipe fitters are also trying to meet the moment, and they're going to do what they can to man all this work and get the people they need. Their training center right now is 11,000 square feet. They just purchased an existing building and are renovating it and retrofitting it to add training space, and it'll quadruple their training space to 44,000 square feet. IBW 683, when I came on board in 2014, they had about 200 apprentices. Today they have 563, and they want to be up to 1,000 by next summer because obviously they're going to have all this work, and they're going to have an incredible need for solar workers too as some of these very large solar projects start. So it's going to be good times. There's going to be a lot of opportunities here for people in the building trades.
Dorsey, you mentioned solar, and I see there's a plant, I believe, in Pataskala, Ohio. I don't even know about that town. Is that am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, it's out in Licking County. It's close to New Albany. It's a pretty big growing area. Invenergy has purchased an existing building. They're going to renovate it, and they're going to add two solar manufacturing lines for solar panels. They want to have that done by the end of 23, and then they're going to construct six additional lines to hopefully be mass-producing solar panels by the end of 2024. So that's eight lines in the next, 17, 18 months. And kind of the funny thing about that project is obviously we're dealing with a lot here and we're trying to stay on top of them, but sometimes, you know, things kind of slip by, right? And I got a call late one night. I got a call late one night from one Columbus who wanted to do a press release on the project. And they said, hey, we want a quote from you for this solar manufacturing plant. We're going to do a press release tomorrow at 8 a.m. Let's get a quote from you. And I'm like, what solar manufacturing plant? And then they kind of went through it, and I'm like, okay, is that in my area? And they're like, yes, it's in Licking County. And I'm like, all right, I didn't even know about it. I'm sorry. I said, but thank you. And gave them the quote, and we moved on. So we're having meetings with the general contractor there, making sure we're going to get them all the electricians, all the pipe fitters, all the sheet metal workers, all the bricklayers that they're going to need, and all the other crafts to get this thing ready and up and running by the end of this year.
Just amazing what's going on in Central Ohio. Dorsey Hager joining us on our live line today, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You could follow them on Twitter at Build Central OH, and they are really building Central OH, no doubt about that. We got Fred Redmond joining us later in the show. It's our first Friday with Fred. You're listening to America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's L-I-U-N-A.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, always connecting people with employment, good employment, ulagency.org. Let's go back to Central Ohio, rejoin Dorsey Hager on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Dorsey, if you don't mind, I want to reference the visit by Sean McGarvey last week and why he came there. He's excited about what's going on in your area, and it was titled Meeting the Moment, a program presented by the National, State, and Local Building Trades to leaders celebrating all the work in Central Ohio. This doesn't happen by accident, what's happening in your area. You've got good national policy. I mean, think of all the policy that came through the first couple years of the Biden administration. And I was reading earlier about this Investing in America agenda, and the president's wife, Jill, is going around the country announcing a program. And you and I talked about building pathways. They are making available, listen to this, $80 million in funding through its Building Pathways to Infrastructure Jobs Grants. And we're talking $500,000 to $5 million for grants. I mean, what's happening now is great. It's just going to be accelerated. And obviously, you and I, in fact, the last time we talked, we were talking about finding those areas, those underserved areas, and every community has an underserved area, to target those areas and help those folks to find the pathway to the middle class. Dorsey, can you address this whole situation, what's going on? And I'm sure Sean McGarvey is realizing what's going on in America right now, right?
Absolutely. And he spoke about this last week when he was here, both in some of his comments, but also afterwards when he was on the tour and when he was being interviewed by local media and national media. You know, he's had several meetings with the president, and a couple of meetings were one-on-one meetings with President Biden. And he just, you know, emphatically and intensely sat and looked at Sean and said, listen, a lot of these policies that we've created, the CHIPS Act, the infrastructure bill, you know, things that are going to help us build Intel, things that are going to help Western New York build Micron, things that are going to help Cincinnati replace the Brent Spence Bridge. He's like, you know, a lot of these have prevailing wage protections. A lot of these have PLA protections. A lot of these have workforce development. So they're creating jobs for a lot of building trades people. And the president, through these policies, tasked President McGarvey and the rest of the NAB2 staff, which is filtering on down, you know, make sure you get out in these underserved communities. You find women, you find people of color, you find veterans, and you give them that chance to get on that path to the middle class as well, just like, you know, all the existing members and everybody that you've been reaching out to traditionally. And, you know, you take that from the national level, you take the commitment from Governor Wine and Lieutenant Governor Husted, who texted me up after that event Thursday and saw the article in the paper and was incredibly excited about that and appreciative. You take the commitment of Jobs Ohio and One Columbus to bring work here. And I think that that's what's creating all these opportunities. And then you come down to the local level. You know, we've talked about our Franklin County commissioners who are our partner in building futures, you know, John O'Grady, Kevin Boyce, and Eric Crowley. And the policies that they've created, the implementation of project labor agreements, our mayor, Andrew Ginther, and our city council, you know, Shannon Harden and Rob Dorans under their leadership on council, which today is a great day to talk about because today is the first day of the Community Benefit Agreement Committee, and they're going to be finalizing a Community Benefit Agreement on the Fran Ryan Center, which is a little over a $30 million job, and they're also going to start the work on the Municipal Courthouse, which is a $275 million job. So I think all of that rolled in together and all the work and everything that we've done the last 8 or 9 years to show the people of this community, whether they're white, black, brown, male, female, rich or poor, what we're going to do to help give everybody an opportunity there, I think is really shown. And that's why we're really seeing the fruits of our labor right now.
In your opinion, do you think McGarvey feels pretty confident about meeting the moment? I mean, we're going to need a lot of workers here. And you referenced in the first segment how the apprenticeship programs have ramped up. I'm just wondering, does he feel confident that that's going to meet the moment? It's going to really happen here?
Yeah, he feels incredibly confident. And I think that, again, goes down to Mike Nisely and Mark Douglas at state and builders on down to the local leaders here in Columbus. You know, myself, you know, Pat Hook, the business manager at IBW, Rodney French, the sheet metal workers, we're all doing, you know, through each individual local things that they think that are going to help them get the people that are required. And then the building trades is obviously trying to spearhead that and work with them as well, whether it's organizing, you know, and going out on job sites and letting people know that are maybe underpaid or undervalued by their employer, that there's a better opportunity in the union construction trades, or if it's, you know, our building futures program, helping people in underserved communities. We're also working on some programming to expand building futures into middle schools and high schools, you know, to 1 week programs where we can work with kids in junior high and high school and let them get their hands on some materials, on some tools, and get an understanding of what the building trades is. So hopefully when they graduate from high school, they can walk right into an apprenticeship program. It's all of those things. It's the outreach events that we're doing, you know, in a lot of these areas, not only underserved, but also throughout the entire community. And in some of the rural areas where poverty and unemployment rates are maybe a little bit higher than they are here in the city. So I think it's everything. You got to cast a wide net, and I think that's what we're doing.
All right, one more question. I know you've been at some endorsements here. I mean, there's always something popping up politically. And I'm just wondering if you could share some of your thoughts on moving forward here. I know the legislature's doing all kind of funny things down there. I'm just wondering, and you got your hand on the pulse, I know that. Anything you want to call attention to briefly?
Yeah, I mean, we had our delegates meeting Wednesday night, and I think our guys are doing a tremendous job. Even though there's a lot of work going on, they're also trying to keep their eye on what's happening politically. And at the State House, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. There's a discharge petition at the State House now to where they're trying to gather 50 signatures to bypass the speaker to bring to a vote HJR1, which, you know, is the resolution that would make 60% for any constitutional amendments. It has terrible, terrible effects on the construction, on the building trades, because it also affects bonding, it affects school levy issues. And, you know, I was looking back at this the other night because, you know, I'm a numbers guy. And in 2011, we defeated Right to Work Senate Bill 5 by 61.73% of the votes. So if that constitutional amendment, if HDR 1 were to pass, that would have meant in 2011, we would have only overturned Right to Work by less than 2 points, a layup, right? Mm-hmm. And organized labor collectively spent over $50 million to beat that back. So if that happens again, how much would we have to spend, you know, now? So our delegates and our officers took a vote on Wednesday. We came out adamantly opposed to HJR1. Our communications director, Kelly Harrop's, working on a press release and a social media release right now to let everybody know. Then I'm going to follow it up with phone calls to our friends in the legislature to let them know to oppose this, which I've already taken meetings, and talk to our local people to let them know. We also went through our round of endorsements. We wanted to get them done early and make sure that everybody could get their stuff on their literature with our seal and our logo. So we endorse the entire city council slate of nine, who've been incredibly, incredibly helpful for everything that we're trying to do. Again, led by the leadership of Shannon Hardman, Rob Dorns. We endorsed our mayor, Andrew Ginther, who's doing a tremendous job, and he's running for re-election. Three judicial seats. We talk about these all the time, how important judges are. Zach Gwynn, Andrea Peoples, and Jared Skinner. They're all going to be victorious. They're going to do a great job on the bench, and they received our endorsement too. And then last but not least, our great friend, and she's a part of our legal counsel, Sarah Ingalls, sees a need to run for school board and to help out the Columbus City Schools. So she stepped up and decided to put herself out there and to run, and we're going to be all in and try to see what we can do to help her get elected to school board. So she received our endorsement too. But we're going to have all those on our social media, Facebook and Twitter at Build Central OH. We're also going to have them on our website at columbusconstruction.org. So, and we're going to be highlighting a lot of the candidates and electeds that we endorse. But politics never stop. We talk about that. We got all this work. We got all this workforce development. We got all this pre-apprenticeship training. But you also got to keep your eyes on the people that are making the rules that we live by day to day to make sure they don't adversely affect us or our membership. So
there you go, brother. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. He mentioned the website. I'll repeat that. ColumbusConstruction.org. And their Twitter handle, BuildCentralOH. How appropriate that is. You take care. Keep doing what you're doing, man. You are doing a bang-up job, and we'll talk to you next month, okay?